Chapter 25, Epilogue.
Captain Ventura, what do you mean the Primaris is gone?
War Master, we've searched everywhere. The Bloodthorn's lair in the Dembelli Overhive has been completely destroyed, and there's no sign of the Psyker. We found his force weapon, abandoned on the gallery floor.
Could he have gotten past you?
We had the Overhive's only skybridge blocked off in case the Bloodthorn took control, and we have his second, the Pyro named Bast. He wouldn't leave her behind.
Captain, at 0222 this morning, the war on Aegea V ended. Our auger scans spiked with readings that indicated a warp demon being birthed in Dembelli Primus. Seconds later, the energy signatures flatlined, leaving no sign of Sarkis or its hosts anywhere on the planet.
A great victory.
That is for me to decide. Renegade forces will be given one day to surrender. Retribution begins tomorrow at dawn.
What is that?
A familiar face stared at me through the twisted, shimmering silver bars of a cosmic cage. The woman's smile jolted me fully awake, and her pale blue eyes drew me forth. "Its name is Sarkis," I replied. "It's a demon of the Blood God."
"That's an impressive cage. What's it made of?"
"Mostly silver energy, mostly me. We existed in a vast trough in the Sea of Souls. Mountains of dark energy surrounded us, and nothing seemed permanent except for the bright cage and the two souls admiring it. The cage acted like a beacon. A black tide buffeted us as if offended by the undone demon in our midst. Unseen monsters roared their complaint, and the mountains roared back with echoes that mocked us all. Severed from the power of its promised domain, Sarkis merely drooled, cosmically speaking. It would take centuries for the beast to gather itself and make another run through the veil.
Silver, you might think twice about staying here. This isn't a nice neighborhood, and there are plenty around here that know your scent.
Tegan McKittrick, why are you here?
I'm drawn to you, don't you know that?
Know what?
You left me marked where it counts.
Tegan McKittrick was a ghost with pretty eyes and a magnet for trouble. I was more of the same. I pulled off my helmet, luring her in with my silver-coated sight. I thought I cut you loose.
You did, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this.
The young woman moved closer and kissed me on the side of the mouth. I didn't object to her touch. I've missed you. McKittrick was the first friend I had in Skola Sykana. There, she'd been a ghost. But having both crossed over, she now felt more than real.
I doubt that, Silver. It seems like you've been too busy to miss anyone.
She kicked the cosmic cage to make her point.
I've missed you too, but why are you here?
The same reason as you.
You knocked?
No, I smiled. I used a back door.
You did what?
I chained myself to a warp demon and annihilated myself in the process.
You've lit yourself up like a flare. That's what you've done. You don't belong here holding that much power.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you need to take your cage and go home.
McKittrick took my helmet and gently placed it back on my head.
Sarkis belongs here. You don't. It'll still be around whenever you return, and so will I.
Tegan, what's my name?
Perrick Silver, the Psyker Lord of Terra.
Close enough. And how do you expect me to get home from here?
You have a safe word, don't you?
You know that I do. I had a new safe word glowing beneath my ethereal skin. McKittrick tightened my chin strap.
Then you had better use it.
Arriving 400 feet above the planet Terra, I was trapped in the rafters of a perfectly dangerous sector. Overhead, a sea of silver-tinged glyphs spelled out the names of Psykers, come and gone, while on my left hand the codename Six glowed like a beacon. The sirens in the distance were a familiar touch. The wardens of Skola Sykana didn't appreciate unexpected visitors. I highly doubted there would be a parade. A service shaft in the far corner of the polysteel platform offered a choice of ladders down, but why bother? Running never helped. It only made the hellguns bark faster. Scanning the ceiling, I found Tegan McKittrick's name. I traced it until it glowed brighter than all the others, hoping she could feel my touch from beyond the veil. Boots pounded up the ladderway, only one set, and I could guess their owner. A tattooed warrior dressed in black leather emerged from the access shaft, looking put out from the afternoon's long climb. The woman's stern face scanned the entire platform before settling on me.
Who are you?
Her words and lack of recognition shocked me at first. I pried open the visor of my helm in reply. Frozen in place, the woman traded surprise for sadness. Sister Delia Barmacet had been a nemesis, a mentor, and finally my friend during my stay at Skola Sykana. It had been a long year since we'd said goodbye. Seeing the tears break free on her normally stoic face, I marveled at how a wayward ghost could affect the iron-hearted woman. "Hello, Delia. Sorry for the unexpected visit," she whispered back.
"Parik Silver, what brings you here?"
"War. What else? Are you okay?" She glanced at the walls and ceiling.
"We get visitors from time to time, and it never gets easier seeing them stop by to say goodbye before they knock."
I snapped my fingers, and a trusted friend appeared, standing beside me, tall, sharp, and true. Someone had wiped my power glaive down and polished its shaft. The adamantine edge looked freshly honed. Its presence was the surest sign that my days as a ghost were over. "I just wanted to feel your whip one last time before I go, and maybe salute Horatio Balogem." My words didn't cheer up the stoic woman, so I let go of Starfire, watching it tumble and clatter onto the polysteel mesh at our feet. There was nothing ethereal about it, nothing gentle or ghostly to chase away. Delia took the hint and wiped her eyes.
How?
I shrugged. "I am unmarked, only I'm not." She reached into her pocket and drew out an ugly necklace.
"Should I put this on?"
It was the right question, and I frowned, wishing it wasn't the case. "No, I very much need you as you are." Delia was a sister of the abyss, a psychic null on hand to dampen or obliterate any outbursts of warp energy. The necklace would have shielded me from her innate ability at a time when I needed it the most. I leaned Starfire against a nearby rail, pushing all my excess energy into the blade, and closed the distance to Delia. Within 10 feet of the woman, my psychic reserves disappeared along with any alien taint that might have hitched a ride through the veil. The claws of Sarkis had dug in deep, but they couldn't withstand the void of a null sister. "Thank you for that." I wavered at the emptiness, but my mind felt clearer.
"Where to?"
I smiled again. "Do I get to choose?" Delia resumed her stern expression.
"Never."
"Do you think the Ordo Hereticus will be glad to see me?"
"Let me call ahead."
Delia scratched at her neck.
"Is that what I think it is?"
"Yes. Do you have an acolyte I could borrow for a week or two?"
"I'll bring an extra one along."
After a quick tram trip out of Skola Sykana and into Sykana City proper, we were met in Sector Ground Zero by Interrogator Uluxio Centelles of Ordo Hereticus. He'd brought along a few friends bearing hellguns just in case. I'd come out exactly as I'd gone in, wearing a long black Dura-leather coat over a Fibrex bodysuit for protection. My chest was covered in custom-fitted ceramite plates. It wasn't a guard-sanctioned uniform, not even close. Drained of my silver energy and pinned between two null sisters, I was as naked and vulnerable as a psyker could be.
"What is your name?"
said Centelles. "Imperial Guard Primaris Parik Kilhaven."
"Who do you serve?"
"My last sanctioned assignment had me attached to the Fulcrum 10th Legion on Aegea 5. I never met the War Master in charge." I could hear the truth being whispered in Centelles's ear.
"The rebellion on Aegea 5 ended more than 3 months ago. The Sons of Hyperion were credited with the victory."
My date with McKittrick had sped by at the speed of black light. Floundering in the fact that 3 standard months had evaporated overnight, I ignored the bait and replied, "Were there any casualties of note on Aegea 5? Another long pause.
"A Primaris died countering a warp demon. The details have been sealed by the War Master."
I almost laughed, knowing that the details had been sealed by me on my way out. "Interrogator Centelles, now that I'm here, I'm eager to see my family. The sooner you can find me an Ordo Banisher, the better." Sarkis was a scythe of the Chaos Gods. No, I didn't know what that meant, but its warp mark was a thing of beauty. It took 2 banishers 7 days to burn the demon's imprint from my soul, and yes, it was a tear-filled goodbye. The scar around my neck, while powerless, could turn heads, toward it and away, without any effort on my part. The agents of Hereticus offered me another man-made collar to cover it up, and I declined with a whisper. My vocal cords needed some rest after the rite and all the screaming. I'd gotten visits from Inquisitor Barclay Trenier and Interrogator Morgana Zhao throughout the past week. They'd overseen my previous resurrection and seemed to take this one in stride. Neither would talk to me about anything other than the state of my soul and mind. My unexplained arrival and the lives of my family on Terra were strictly off limits. They said they were going by the Ordo Hereticus book, but I'd never read it. I couldn't even imagine how one would spell the utterances shared in the cornerless room reserved for exorcisms. Uluxio Centelles provided a detailed analysis of my arrival. Warp sensors had picked up a massive dark energy spike in the center of Skola Sicana, triggering sector-wide alarms. Video sensors showed an empty service platform, and in a blink, I was there. I hadn't snuck in. I'd simply re-existed, if that's a word, halfway across the galaxy from my demise. One smart fellow suggested they bolt me to a star cruiser and use me as a warp drive. It was the best explanation offered. Astropathic missives were shunted between Terra and the latest crusade, reconfirming my loss at war's end. The Imperial Guard seemed reluctant to share any details. The Ordo Hereticus held tight to the news of my arrival and were in no hurry to send me back. Having seen my share of dissections on a GF5, I didn't feel like hanging around the Hereticus compound any longer than necessary. My final discussion with Interrogator Centels centered around Lord Sindar Kilhaven and his family in the Sicana City Overhive. Being both the Dean of Skola Sicana and an Ordo Hereticus Inquisitor, Sindar Kilhaven should have been present for my recovery. He wasn't.
The explanation is simple. Lord Kilhaven doesn't know of your survival. No one here will dare tell him.
And why not? I said.
Because I will kill them if they do. If you think you've had a bad week, think about the news that arrived 2 months ago from Aegea V. You were like a son to him. For you to die and suddenly reappear on Terra is the most twisted of all possible fates. You know the story concerning the loss of his son, Jovan, and you know his wife.
My hand rubbed a phantom handprint on my left cheek. Yes, I know his lovely wife, and I understand her point of view. I also understand that her reach exceeds mine in every possible way. Now, if you will excuse me, I must honor the living. Fresh from a resurrection, I could pretend to be bold with the best of them. Centellus offered me a slight bow and escorted me out to the service lift. The sky bridge leaving the Hereticus compound was higher than I remembered. Not wanting to go on feeling so empty, I summoned Starfire and its reserves. The lift car shot upward with the touch of my thumb, and I was nearly there when my nerves got the better of me. I bottled out, disembarking at the High Temple instead of the Sicana Overhive. A visit to the Ecclesiarchy was becoming standard practice for me, if only to make my mark and guard against the phantom tide of chaos. The temple grounds lacked layers of blood, bone fragments, and corruption, but after what I'd experienced on Aegea V, I still wasn't eager to enter the High Temple proper. I knelt on the steps in my favorite spot below the main door, tracing the number 6 on the smooth, clean surface and searching for elusive memories. There were gaps, but I found one. The image of Lizzie Alibrand kneeling beside me, filling my hand with her power, while I spun a thread of pure silver energy into the glyph at our fingertips.
You've been promoted, and they still can't keep up.
A familiar voice rolled proudly down the broad steps. I looked up, choking on a smile. My brother Ramsay leaned out of the temple door, a coating of frost flashing across its surface. Stunned, I whispered, "Where?"
"On the way to Tertius. Mantisera was right about Aitor and his berserkers. They hit us up and down the line, destroying most of the 1st and 2nd divisions."
I couldn't reply. I looked up into Ram's eyes, trying to stomach the shock. Ram asked a simple question, gauging the cost of the life he'd spent.
"Did we win that war?"
I nodded. "We sure did." He smiled.
"Would you check in on Keetra Davin for me?"
I nodded again. "Anytime."
"Be well, little brother, and don't forget your name."
My older brother laughed like only an older brother could, and gently shut the temple door behind him. I stayed there a while, trying to grab hold of a new reality and wishing someone would grab hold of me. The truth in that thought bit me hard.
"There he is, Olivia. I told you so."
An angel had followed me home, or perhaps preceded was a better word. I stood and turned. "Hello, Lizzie."
"Hello, Six."
Lizzie crossed her little arms.
"What are you doing down here?"
"Admiring the view of your bodyguard. How are you, Olivia?"
"We got the news before we left. Inquisitor Agramant swore that Malleus had ghosted you."
"It was Sarkis," I squeaked. "Sorry about my voice. The Ordo's rites of banishment."
"You're needed topside pronto before word of your resurrection leaks out."
"Do you think you can sneak me in past Lady Kilhaven?" Lizzie grasped my hand.
"Olivia, he's smarter than he looks, but I think Tora will go easy on him when she hears about his brother."
"You know about Ram?"
"Who do you think snuck him in here to say goodbye?"
"Oh?" Interrogator Morgana Zhao would be leaning on Lizzie to dial it back. A 6-year-old with the power of a cosmic beacon was an incredibly scary thing. It said so right there in the Hereticus Book of Impossible Realities. That I'd come out of the Sea of Souls on this side of the galaxy might be one more miracle to overlook if they pieced together our connection. I kept it quiet and let Lizzie enter the Kilhaven estate first to break the news. Olivia Preston and I lingered in the long entrance hall outside the Kilhaven's Overhive estate, moving carefully among the greenery of Lady Kilhaven's finest specimens. The small garden was a botanical gem and a prime example of cutting-edge biogenetics. It gave us a brilliant atmosphere and a rare slice of privacy. Olivia, will Lizzie be safe here on her own?
She's got most of House Kilhaven wrapped around her finger. Only Lady Kilhaven is holding out.
Do they know her backstory?
Inquisitor Agrimont made certain of that. She also made it perfectly clear who burned and mutilated her hand. The scars were pretty severe.
She showed them the scars?
She called them the Marks of Five and seemed quite proud of it.
Olivia paused, still trying to sort what she was seeing.
Was she right about Mantisera sending you into a trap?
Olivia, you met him. Five was a ready killer. The persona led me into the Overhive of Dembelli Primus to take down another host of Sarkis. I destroyed the Bloodthorn's incarnation, and yes, the setup was a trap. The two remaining demon hosts were present. They jumped at the chance to conscript a third soul and a powerful birth host for the warped demon Sarkis.
And?
And they succeeded. I was in their lair. They had more power on hand than I could counter on a good day, and Sarkis was primed for ascension. The guard offensives had finally filled its quota. I had no choice. I had to sever its reserves. I had to take it outside.
What does that mean, take it outside?
I reached out with my left hand, grabbing hold of her shoulder and locking onto her steely gray eyes. As Sarkis took hold of me, I wrapped it in silver energy and activated Starfire, my force weapon, blowing myself away. The beast had gone all in, and so did I. Olivia suddenly found an interest in the conical leaves of a nearby plant. Small purple flowers were in the process of opening.
So are you a ghost?
Tegan McKittrick was a ghost. My brother Ram was a ghost. I nodded toward the Kilhaven estate. I am until I walk through that door.
House Kilhaven is a minor power on Terra. Your presence here might upset the balance.
In the end, it isn't about the names or the houses or even the warp marks. Those only guide you into the fight. The final result comes from somewhere else.
Like the heart of a 6-year-old girl?
Exactly.